You're listening to Talking Boat Stuff, the Waterways Podcast, where we celebrate everything in, on, and around the water. This episode was recorded live at the 2024 Toronto International Boat Show and is powered by America's Boating Channel. Now, here's your favorite captain of conversation, Stephen Bull.
Another podcast live from the Toronto International Boat Show, joined by Boating Ontario Association CEO Rick Lazell. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, buddy. I appreciate the invitation.
Hey, anytime. Okay, well, we're talking boat stuff. Lots to talk about, but let's start with the show. How's it going for you guys?
Outstanding. What a great first few days. You know, VIP Friday, I would personally say, and I've been doing this a long time, Steve, I would personally say Friday, the crowds may have been a little bit lighter than last year, but they were into it. They knew they were here. They had a purpose. They were buying. They were enthusiastic. Saturday, I can't believe the roof didn't come off the building. The crowds were so crazy. Like 33 years of the Toronto Boat Show for me, Saturday has to be one of the busiest I've ever seen. Yesterday, again, another great enthusiastic crowd. So yeah, we're, you know, day four of a 10-day run. Great start.
Absolutely. I love it. You know, it's always the announcements are perfectly timed to prove that we are live from the Toronto International Boat Show. So, you know, lots of seminars going on. That's what they're announcing right now. I know you're doing some seminars, the Safety is Simple messaging. Let's talk about that. One, that campaign's been going for a little while. How's it going, and what are the key messages of it?
Yeah, really pleased with this campaign. We're in year two. This is a campaign that's funded by Transport Canada, and they wanted us to create an awareness for new boaters. You know, we saw so many new boaters through the course of the pandemic. And obviously, we want them to be educated. We want them to be safe when they're out there. So we created the Safety is Simple campaign with four mainstream messages. Proper use of PFDs and life jackets, where, when, and why. Understanding and education on alcohol and drug consumption, what is and is not allowed on our waterways. And we took a dive that typically is not taken. We also created messaging around learn how to launch your boat. Because trailering and backing up a boat trailer is a unique skill set that is best not tried on a Saturday morning at a launch ramp with 50 expert captains, right? So we created some really great content on that. And the other one was learn how to dock your boat. Because those are the two moments we know from, you know, experience in the industry, we know that those are the moments where we lose people, right? They get frustrated, you know, most of us are guys. We, you know, our testosterone is driving us. It's the boat's fault. It's the trailer's fault. It's Rick's fault. It's the boat show's fault. Not my fault. I don't know how to back up a boat trailer or dock a boat. So we created this really great content. Leslie on my team has been hammering social media. Our last count was 1.6 million views on YouTube. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, we're really, really pleased with the uptake, and we've engaged the industry. We've created unbranded content that our members can actually attach to their e-newsletters and their communications. We've made this super shareable, and again, we're really trying to show people the simple things they can do to create safer environments. There's nothing worse, buddy, than a captain that's full of anxiety and stress, right? Because that decimates the entire experience on the boat, wrecks it for everybody. And I'll share this with you. I mean, you know, when my kids were little, they were never allowed to get out of the truck at the marina until they put their boat coat on. Never called it a life jacket, called it a boat coat. And they loved it. And we would literally be leaving the house, right? Because I had smaller boats I was towing around back then. And before we'd be able to drive, we're like, Dad, is my boat coat in the truck? Because they knew they couldn't go boating, right? So it just became inherent for them. They also were always part of the solution of boating. Whether it was getting the fenders out of storage before they were too big enough to properly attach the fender to the cleat, they would be going to get that, or handing me a mooring line, or whatever cleaning the boat when we were done. They were always part of that. And so many captains don't allow the crew to be engaged. Well, get the kids involved. I mean, your son's always involved. I see lots of stuff of you and Wilson out there boating and stuff. My kids always were, and that's part of what we're trying to convey with the Safety is Simple campaign.
Yeah, I love it. It's not big things, so don't think that you have to give your kid a massive task, or not even kid, guests, even if they're not boaters. Just something, it can be as small as, while I'm backing out of the slip, keep an eye on this side. Let me know if I get too close, because that actually does really help as the captain, and it gives someone a meaningful task, and there's a little bit of ownership, and so now everyone's more engaged. And I also like that you have the trailering as part of it, because so many people think, well, you know, it's obvious, it's going to sound ridiculous, but, well, boating's on the water. Well, That part of it is. Yeah. But when you get it in or out of the water, that's part of boating. When you're towing your trailer, that's boating. When you're winterizing it, storing it, making sure it's safe. Yep. And secure on however you're blocking it or whatever, all of that is a part of it that I think has been a little overlooked. So I love that you guys have that in your campaign.
Yeah, and Steve, we brought in some education around the etiquette at a launch ramp too, right? There's things we can do at home. Like, look, transient boating is a bigger part of the industry than cruiser boats, right? There's way, way more boats in driveways and garages than there is just at slips at marinas, right? So there's stuff you can do when you're heading to the water on Saturday morning. There's stuff you can do in the driveway as part of your preparation. Then the next step is before you get blocking that ramp, you've arrived at the launch ramp, before you block, take your canvas off, get your tie downs out and stowed away, get your cooler into the truck or into the boat rather, your fishing gear, whatever your day is, right? Get that stuff ready. Now you move to the ramp, you back the boat in safely, and, you know, whether you're putting it on a dock or somebody's driving it off the trailer, whatever your setup is, and then you promptly move away to allow the next captain to back his or her boat in, right? So that's all part of the messaging.
Definitely. Let's talk about, give me a provincial overview, some of the, you know, the numbers. Like, how many boats do we have here? How many boaters do we have? Like, I know anecdotally that there's a lot, but we got listeners all over North America that, you know, might only think of Toronto when they think of Ontario, but there are thousands of lakes, thousands of boaters. Give me the Ontario stats.
Yeah, so the numbers are compelling, bud. Like, first off, there's 250,000 lakes and rivers in the province of Ontario. There's a lot of places to go for a boat ride, right? Tons and tons. We sell as an industry somewhere in the range of 110,000 boats a year across Canada. That's combined, new and used. Ontario represents typically 45 to 47% of that number. So there's roughly 45 to 50,000 boats a year sold in the province of Ontario. What's the actual number of total boats on our waterways? I wish I had that one in my fingertips. I actually don't know that one. Probably should. But yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I mean, it's certainly compelling the amount of boats that ply our waterways.
Absolutely. And we saw that huge spike during COVID of interest where people didn't have the option of looking outward. So they looked in their big backyard of Ontario and realized, oh my gosh, there's a 250,000 lakes and rivers.
Yeah.
And this is a safe thing to do in the COVID era because you're literally bubbled and floating on your bubble with someone.
Yep.
But then a lot of people fell in love with boating because of that. And so we have a lot of new boaters out there as well. Are we seeing a bit of a cool off maybe in terms? Because I know it was ridiculous for a while. I couldn't find a dinghy. It would be posted and you'd call and they'd have sold it within 4 hours. So there's still a lot of people entering. Are we still seeing that COVID boom, or is it kind of cooling off a bit?
Look, we fully expected, buddy, that the COVID boom would slow, and it definitely did. We saw, I would say, the early onset of slowdown happen late summer of 2022, and by the time we were into summer of 2023, there was no question that the crazy rush was over, and that's okay. It's perfectly okay that, look, bicycles had a crazy rush, right? You couldn't buy a bicycle at Canadian Tire or a bicycle store. You couldn't buy an RV. You couldn't buy a boat. We're now back in a period where there is pipeline inventory. The supply chain, for the most part, has caught up. The dealers do have inventory in the pipeline again, and that's great. We're seeing that here on the show floor, right?
Definitely. We also saw on the show floor the premier of the province. Doug Ford came to make an appearance. I know you spoke with him. You know, I'm not going to ask you to tell me exactly everything you talked about, but what are some of the highlights? What did the premier want to say, and what did you want to tell him?
So, I guess a couple of veins. I mean, the premier's he's a boater. Right, his cottage outside of Port Sydney. He has two boats at his docks. He loves our sport and loves what we do. Is interesting comment that he made yesterday when one of the many, many, many stops that he made, because he shook anybody's hand that wanted to shake his hand. Somebody said, you know, you're one of the greatest politicians I've ever met because you will walk back an issue if your government's made a mistake. And he said, the difference is I'm not a politician. I'm a businessman that works in politics. And I totally respect that.
Yeah, I like that line. And it's true. I mean, if you're not, you know, I'll edit that out. I just bumped it when I was checking it to make sure it was running.
Okay.
So it's not a provincial issue, but another national one that has been a big deal, and I think you know where I'm going with this, is the dreaded luxury tax. So for people that don't know what it is, first of all, tell me what this luxury tax is and how it is related to boating.
So the luxury tax came into play September of 2022, and it is on boats over $250,000 at retail. It was presented to the Canadian public as a yacht tax on the rich. And unfortunately, what it's become is a tax on passionate Canadians that want to go boating, because $250,000 is not a yacht, right? A yacht is a million-dollar-plus conversation. My wife and I own a 1997 32-foot cruiser to replace my boat today, because I choose, as a Canadian, to not buy an RV. And there's nothing wrong with RVs if you want to buy an RV. But if you choose to not buy an RV or a cottage, and you want to buy a boat and go boating on our lakes and waterways, as a Canadian, on a boat over $250,000, between $250 and $500, it's a 20% tax with HST on top of the tax.
Taxing the tax, always
tax on
nice.
The tax. North of $500,000, it becomes 10% across the board. And again, tax on top of the tax. The Parliamentary Budget Office projected that there would be a loss of $36 million in sales in recreational boating. We demonstrated and presented, I've been in Ottawa more times than I can count in the last 12 months, we lost $211 million in retail across Canada last year. Now ratchet that out and realize that is an immediate negative hit of $28 million in lost HST revenue before the consumer buys gas, does service on the boat, goes and does touring and, you know, buys lunch at the restaurant or any of that stuff. We also talked to the market in the fall. We went out, we did a national, sort of a high-level scrape survey, if you will, Steve. We talked to 42 retailers. We asked two questions. We said, in today's economic environment, so with the interest rates that we've got, with the rumbles about a potential recession, which I personally don't think is coming, in today's economic environment, if there was no luxury tax, how many boats over $250,000 would you bring into inventory, and what would the retail value be? Second question, in today's economic environment, given that there is a tax, how many will you bring and what's the retail dollar value? 81% less boats coming to Canada. And we took that to Ottawa. We presented that to the Ministry of Finance and we said, this is the reality of the environment we're in. And the immediate comment was, well, it doesn't matter because they'll just buy the boats when the consumers want to buy the boats anyway. And I had to say, okay, hold on. I've been in the boat business for 33 years. I worked for a manufacturer for 20 years. You don't just snap your fingers and get a new boat in 2 weeks. It's not how it works. We order our boats in July, August, and September. The manufacturers put those boats into an allocation process, and then those boats are allocated to come to Canada over the course of our season. So if a consumer decides they're going to buy a new 38-foot boat, if that boat's not already on order, you're not likely going to see that boat in the summer of 2024. It's just the supply chain is not going to be there.
No, and the intention of, you know, the tax the rich, they're buying mega yachts, we're going to get some tax on that. I don't know mega rich people, but I do know that they're clever.
Yep.
And they're not just going to say, oh, fiddle-dee-dee, I guess I'm paying a huge tax if I buy it here. They're going to say, why don't we buy our boat at our place in Florida, and maybe we'll bring it up and boat around somewhere else, or just not boat in Ontario. And furthermore, also worth noting, they tried the luxury tax in the United States. This isn't an original idea that someone's tried and we're surprised it's not working. It was introduced in the States, failed, cost jobs, did all of the stuff that we're seeing. So is there any hope at the moment? Do we think that it's going to be rescinded? Is there any at least reviews happening, or does this seem to be this is how it is as far as we can tell for now?
We're going to continue to present the impacts. We're going to continue to show the facts of what the tax is doing. We're going to continue to demonstrate the jobs that are piling up that we've lost. We know we're over 100 jobs already, which doesn't sound like a big deal until you start to realize some of these are skilled technicians that we've invested in our sector, put thousands of dollars into training to keep these people in our sport, and they're gone. And we're not going to get them back. Some of these people are boat detailers that are simply don't have a job anymore. Finance people simply don't have a job in our sector anymore. You know, and then you realize with all this, and I'm going to come back to answer your question, but you realize these are rural jobs. These are not downtown Toronto jobs, right? I mean, yes, there's marinas on the Lake Ontario shoreline, but where's the bulk of the marinas and where's the bulk of recreational boating in the province of Ontario? It's in rural Ontario. So these are rural jobs, good paying jobs with benefits, and they're gone. So getting these people back is going to be a challenge. Where does this thing go, Steve? We'll continue to demonstrate it. I truly hope that our federal government will listen, will understand they're not affecting the rich. The rich have clearly said, to your point, I'm buying a boat in Florida, and guess what? I'm not bringing it to Canada. It's not going to come to Canada at all. I'm just going to keep it down there. And so many of the feedback has been, give me a call back when the tax is gone, I'll buy the boat then. I'm not buying it right now.
Yep, I believe it. And then, you know, if it stays around, I'm thinking, you know, maybe this is extreme, but I remember when drones, you know, the unmanned aerial vehicles came in, and they tried all these different laws, and of course you had to have it to make sure it was safe, but it got to the point where, okay, well, anything over 250 grams is going to require a license, and the biggest drone maker in the world came out with a 249-gram drone. I have one. It's the Mavic Mini. You don't require it. So they will find a workaround, so this idea that this is just a simple cash grab is clearly not working. It's costing jobs and everything, so thank you for fighting and keeping it going, because you know, the industry needs it.
And Steve, sorry to cut you off. We're going to continue to fight. We have... And I think, I don't know if you're going to go here, but I want to go here. We've launched the Canadian Marine Retailers Association in part because the challenges we're facing from Ottawa. We need, and the industry has really united around this thing, we need Ottawa to hear the impact from a national perspective. You know, I'm not afraid to step up and raise our voice. The challenge is they hear Rick, they hear Ontario. They don't hear, even if I say I'm speaking on behalf of my colleagues in British Columbia and Quebec and Atlantic Canada, they still hear Rick, Ontario. The Canadian Marine Retailers Association will be that mechanism that when we go to Ottawa, we will speak on behalf of all retail. Our sector's $10 billion plus of the economic engine of this country. We're not small potatoes, like, we're a big deal. And they need to hear on behalf of all of us, and that's what CMRA is going to do.
Absolutely. And what's sort of the timeline for the CMRA?
Oh, buddy, we're moving. We set a goal. And look, I got to tell you, this started at a Tim Hortons on a napkin between myself and Bruce Hain from Boating BC 2.5 years ago, right? We literally sat at a Timmy scribbling ideas together for 2 hours a couple of years back. The timeline that we set, the goal that we set, was that in the spring of 2024, we would go to, there's a conference that we go to in Ottawa called the Canadian Marine Advisory Council. We would go there, and one of us, to be, the decision's going to happen February 15th, one of us would be the representative voice of CMRA. We are on time for that. The articles of incorporation are done. Draft 3 of the bylaws are complete, subject to the final board approval on Feb 15. Mission statement's done. Board elections are essentially done with a couple of pieces to get filled in. But we are April. We will be officially live. We've announced it to the industry. They know the process and that it's coming. And we're really excited about this.
Right on. 2024 is a big year.
You bet.
And speaking of 2024, let's touch on one of, you know, there's a lot of tour companies and things like that, but it's always nice to see someone outside of Ontario recognizing the beauty of the province. So Le Boat, the canal rental ones, 1969, they started in France on the Canal du Midi in, I think it's 9 countries. Obviously, they came to the Rideau. They're coming on the Trent. And speaking with them, it's wonderful the amount of European interest, and what I've heard is that they're shocked that, wait a minute, on these canals and waterways we can swim?
Yeah.
Because you can't there. I did a shoot on the Canal du Midi, and you know, it's 350 years old. It wasn't designed for recreation, and it's like that chocolate milk colored water, kind of gross. But to come to our pristine waterways and be able to swim and fish, and you're not going to scoop water out and drink it, but it's clean. It's something that I think we take for granted that outsiders recognize. So I think that's great news for everyone. We've seen more of these boat sharings too. There's Skippery, there's Freedom Boat Club that's expanding, Carefree Boat Club. Yeah. There's a lot of these relatively new in the mainstream. I know they've been around for a little while. Mm-hmm. What's your thought on that, on this different way of boating that's coming into Ontario and all of Canada instead of just straight up ownership or knowing someone?
Yeah. I guess my Coles Notes comment would be it's about time. It's you know, when the idea of the Freedom Boat Clubs and the Carefree Boat Clubs and Skipperies, when that kind of started, there were some in the industry that were really resistant to this whole idea. Well, no, the customer's just got to buy a boat. Well, hold on. What if that isn't right for that customer? What if what is right for that customer is just to have a share of a without the full commitment of winterizing and storage and everything else? What if there's another pathway? And at the end of the day, these organizations, Carefree, Freedom, and Skippery, are buying new boats and motors through the dealer network anyways, right? So the channel has altered slightly, but the process and the beauty of these clubs is that they convert shareholders or timeshare people to owners. There's a natural conversion where some of these people that say, I want to be in it, call it part-time because I don't know the right terminology, buddy, but you know they go, wait a minute, I love this. I want to do this all the time. My kids are into it, and we've discovered tubing or skiing or boarding or cruising as my wife and I do or whatever. Let's talk about Le Boat. Le Boat has brought a totally different concept and a different element because these are not go fast boats, right? I mean, they're not rocking and rolling down the Rideau, nor will they be up the Trent.
No, full throttle. You're 10. They've got them. You can hammer down, and you're doing 10.
You're
clicks.
Doing 10, and that's great, right? And I mean, you know, great big rubber bumpers around them and everything. Wickedly safe, easy way to get people on the water. I've talked to people that, you know, there's a certain element of society that's naturally uncomfortable around water. Well, those boats are so comfortable to be on, and at only doing 10, as you said, they're not going to make you nervous. I mean, you and I have both driven lots of fast boats and stuff, and yeah. They, you know, I know lots of people in my own life. They go, I'm never driving a boat 70 miles an hour, and me, I'm like, give me the helm, let's go, right? But the boat concept and what they've really done is really expanded that, and I can't say this enough. Part of what I think the clubs and the Le Boat environments are bringing is we are finally getting away from just a Caucasian sport.
Yep.
You know, we have been, and for years, I mean, you know, the bulk of my, I was 20 years with Yamaha, as you know, and, you know, I remember looking at our marketing and our promotion, our branding, and it was all Caucasian people. And I'm like, that's not what Canada is. It hasn't been that for a long time. And I think the clubs are helping this. I think the pandemic definitely changed, you know, some of the faces on the waterways. And forgive me if my terminology is wrong. I don't mean to be wrong with it. But I think it's wonderful, and I think it's about time. So, buddy, my answer to Le Boat and the clubs, about time, and I'm so happy it's happening.
Yeah, and I also think it's a great way for the aging population that are selling their boats because they don't want to deal with it. They're lifelong boaters, but just, I can't deal with the maintenance or whatever. That's a way that you can stay on the water a little bit longer and not have to deal with any of that stuff too. So I think it introduces people and extends. It's the perfect bookend, I
Absolutely.
Find, to the ownership, which, as you alluded to earlier, is so massive in this country. I'm going to put you on the spot here. I know you're the Boating Ontario Association CEO. Don't worry. I'll give you chances to talk about the rest of it. But this will obviously be biased to where you spend most of your time, but what is Rick Lazell's personal, when you're not wearing your Boating Ontario Association hat, when you are just Rick on a boat with the family, what are your two or three favorite spots to go or that you have gone that are just your favorites?
Okay, so I'm going to stay inside Ontario. I've boated on the West Coast and stuff, but let me stay inside the province of Ontario, and I'm going to frame my response probably around the boat that we've currently got. So we're on Simcoe, and you know, our kids are grown, right? So it's Karen and I, and we have a spot when we come out of McPhee Bay, and we make a beeline for a spot off of the main channel, but it's kind of in the middle of Simcoe. And you cannot see shoreline. And we literally shut the boat off, and we put some music on, and we both sit on. We've got a huge swim platform on the back of our boat, and put our feet in the water, and we just sit and chill. And you know what doesn't happen? The phone doesn't happen, and the technology doesn't happen, and the pressure melts away. And so number one is that one. Number two, there's a little bay that we all lovingly call eBay, as an economy bay. It's literally around the corner from the marina. And the sunsets out there are mind-blowing. Like, we look across to the west side of Lake Simcoe, and the sunsets, as the sun comes down over Orillia, is epic. Absolutely epic out there. And now with a cruiser, we can put our hook down, and we can sit and legally have a glass of wine on the boat, because we're done. The keys are out of the ignition. We're done. We're staying for the night. We can watch the sun go down, and we can watch the moon come up. Love those. So that's my favorite too. And look, I'm going to tell you one other moment, and I'm going to go away from the current 32. One of the things I've always enjoyed about our sport is the sound of kids laughing. Whatever we're doing, you know, and like our last boat, I mean, we put a tower on it, and I learned how to wake surf behind the boat. But the sounds of our kids, I actually got one of those rearview mirrors so that I could actually watch their faces as the laughter was coming, and I love that sound.
Yeah, I agree. I think of that when I see, you know, we're in the winter now. I know there's some people that love, you know, the pristine snow on their lawn, and that to them is a perfect winter. My perfect winter view is the backyard is just destroyed, and there's a snowman and half of a snowman and little trails all over. Same with boating. I know some people want the quiet solitude, and good for them.
Yep.
Fill your boots. Everyone finds their own way to enjoy it. But for me, when you hear kids laughing on the beach, on the boat, doing whatever on the tube, you know, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
It's hard to stay unhappy. Okay, so that's your personal one. Now you're Boating Ontario Association. You've been able, this has taken you to different places that most Ontarians don't get to go to all the time. Like, you've been to different places in the province. What are places or marinas or waterways that maybe this job has taken you to that surprised you, that you otherwise wouldn't have gone to boating out of Lake Simcoe area?
Two spots on Georgian Bay. Number one, the Bustard Islands. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable spot on the bay. You truly feel like you can't see land when you're out on the Bustard Islands. And you go in there's an inlet they call the Gun Barrel. You go in the Gun Barrel. We did a trip 3 years ago. There was 30-ish boats. We were in a 29-boat tie-up in the Gun Barrel, and it was absolutely mind-blowing. We did a dinghy tour that night out to the lighthouses that they had out there. Amazing. So that would be number one there. The Collins Inlet. We did the run the next day, actually, through Collins Inlet, and that's just stunning to see what's in there. I don't know if you've ever been up through there, Steve, but that is, it's so peaceful.
No.
It's beautiful.
Oh, okay. Those are solid answers. I will accept all of those. have you had a chance to walk around the show? I know you're doing seminars. I know you guys have a booth.
Yep.
And I know there's been meetings and things. Have you had any free time to just be able to take a little personal wander and see what's here? Or have you been kind of tied to your spot?
So I have a great team. Right, I have a great team, and the industry always steps up and volunteers to help the association's booth. My role really isn't in the booth, to be fair. I kind of show up in the morning, drop off my briefcase, tell the team where, you know, here's my lineup of meetings for the day, and off I go. A lot of those meetings are meetings I do impromptu on the floor, talking to members, how are we doing in the show, what are the issues, what's going on. So, yeah, I've definitely taken time to walk the floor. I'll do quite a bit of that more, you know, sort of today, tomorrow, Wednesday kind of thing before the crowds really pick back up. But definitely a good vibe on the floor for sure.
Yeah, and there's a bit of buzz I've found. The big boats are back. There's lots of 40-plus footers. Now, they're not the sedan bridges that people might have seen in the past, but, you know, this show reflects what Ontarians are buying.
Yeah. Look, there's been an evolution, right? Specifically around the fiberglass part of the game, right? We've seen a lot of, you know, there's lots of 30-foot bow riders now, right? There's lots of them. And, you know, the days of coming down the Toronto Boat Show and looking at, you know, 135-foot-plus boats, they're gone. And the tax has affected that, right? Because the dealers won't take the risk because the consumer has said they won't buy them. But on the other side of it, the manufacturers have kind of, there's been a bit of a step back from some of that inventory too, right? So really, what I'm seeing from the OEMs, from the boat builders, is they're really looking at a more multi-purpose application with boats, right? It's not just, we're just going to do this for cruising. They're really looking, I mean, Regal launched a 29-foot wakeboard boat, right? I mean, it's unbelievable, like, some of the stuff that's coming out from some of the brands. So, and then you look at the engine technology that's changing. I mean, Volvo with their forward-facing drive product and, you know, all of the new technology that's happening at the helms. And, you know, that's not something to be missed, right? You look at where, you know, the engine companies have gone that have simplified the boating experience with technology is incredible.
Oh yeah, and the changes, the date. I mean, even Nortec used to be the, you know, lot. It was the catamaran go fast type. They're still the go fast type, but they're almost exclusively center consoles with quads and
quads. Well, I think we got one here with quad 400s on it, right? I mean, it's phenomenal.
All right, final question here. We touched on the jobs that were lost because of the taxes. That's one thing, but marine jobs, that's a big push too with the industry and everyone. So from technicians to brokers, I think the biggest challenge from an outsider's perspective is people think, well, I only boat 6 months of the year, if that, in Ontario, which means these jobs are only part-time jobs half the year. And that is not the case. So tell me about the job situation overall and what's been going on. Because I know we got the Georgian College booth here. They're pushing their program, which is fantastic.
Yep.
How's the training and apprenticeship thing?
Okay, let's go down a couple of paths. First off, we're not part-time jobs. Right? We really aren't. Like 30 years ago when I started in this business, service side especially was definitely part-time work. The industry has done a couple of things, and let's go the laneway of service first, okay? That's 30 years ago. The shops were crappy. They were poorly lit. They were greasy. They were dirty. The service shops now, rightly so, and I'm not a technician, right? I'm a business development guy. The service shops are equally as beautiful as the showrooms, and they should be. We have technicians in the province, you know, senior master technicians with OEM tickets making well over $40 an hour. We've got great opportunities for young people coming up. I would say this, and I talk to a lot of retailers, what do you do with your techs? Do you lay your guys off? Do you keep them all winter? The general answer is, and general consensus is, the technicians that want to be laid off in the winter, because there are some that do not want to work all winter, right?
Yep.
Okay. Those guys, yep, we'll lay them off because they want that. The guys that want to work all winter, because we get it, you know, you can't groom people into the sector and not provide meaningful full-time work when you got a young person in their mid-20s, early 30s going, but wait a minute, we have two babies at home and a mortgage on our back. You've got to have full-time work. So the industry's really evolved that, right? When I look at, so that's the service side, right? And they have great opportunities from service advisors, parts advisors, all those roles. Go into the showroom. Sales jobs are certainly full-time jobs. And I think the sales job has really evolved more than any in the last few years because of what we went through during the pandemic era. We now truly understand that the idea of remote work, you don't have to be in the showroom every day to sell boats, right? You need to be there to present if a consumer wants to see one, but you don't have to be there if the consumer really wants to talk about it. Hop on a Zoom call on your cell phone the way you go, right? Full-time jobs. There's over 30,000 people in the province of Ontario employed in the recreational boating industry. And I would say this.
30,000?
Over 30,000 employed in Ontario in our sector. I would say this. The people that want to work full-time are absolutely working meaningful full-time roles, earning good incomes. And this is the biggie, the lifestyle benefits of working around our sport. Because think about it. You know, I remember going to Alliston. This is like 6 years ago. And talking to some high school, a group of high school tech students, and you know, there's a big Honda factory right in Alliston, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, so do you want to spend the next 30 years of your life cranking a bolt down or a nut down on a crankshaft, or do you want to come to work one day and do an oil change on a 36 footer and the next day winterize a 24 footer and the next day do something else? And yeah, you might go set up a boat show and, oh geez, you might paint the washroom or the shop, but every day's different. And then you start looking at the lifestyle stuff that our guys do to create and harness that passion and keep that passion brewing. You know, we got a member that runs yoga events at their marina.
That's cool.
The technicians are the first guys that sign up.
Oh, yeah?
Right? And he allows that to happen because that's part of what they want to do. That keeps their spirit and their passion and their spunk. And, like, our guys are so good at being creative, at, you know, making sure that their employees are thriving, right? As an association, we created a program back in 2018 called the Marine Works Development Fund. This is completely industry-funded, education-focused funding. We put $30,000 back into our members' pockets last year, whether it was newcomers coming into our skilled trades or whether it was existing marine technicians harnessing and expanding their trade and their professionalism through the ABYC program that Georgian College runs, or it was people taking sales professional training programs or marina manager programs. We really positioned ourselves as a conduit. I'm not going to try to rip off great education programs that are out there for our sector. What we're saying to our members is go take that program, go partner with that association if you need to, great. Go take that education, invest in your people, invest in your business, and we'll help fund it for you. Because I can't rebuild it, and why would I, when the programs are out there? So MarineWorks has done that. We actually have $75,000 to put back to the industry this year. And again, that is 100% driven by us. There's no government money yet. Hello? we will pursue that when the time is right. But, you know, this is to continue to grow the sector. I believe in, you know, I believe our people want to be professionals, and I believe it's our job to help them get there.
Yeah, and I think that that's just another one of the initiatives that, you know, is happening and you guys are involved in. So I'll let you get back to the show. I want to thank you on behalf of Ontario Boaters for promoting our sport, for fighting against things like the luxury tax, keeping us safe, and making sure that we can enjoy those 250,000 lakes, rivers, and everything in between.
Thanks, awesome, Rick. Buddy. Thanks for the time.